state and not visit the border.
Because there's a more important thing going on. They're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
We see this as an interesting or a coincidence, if I may, that that he would so haphazardly, Twitter would so haphazardly push this distraction. That is a full of old news, if you think about it. At the same time, Twitter is facing very real and very serious questions about the rising volume of anger, hate, and anti-Semitism on their platform.
I must tell you that I think everyone that serves in public office, everyone that aspires to serve or to serve again, we should make it clear that we will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Are you ready?
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Our phone number, as always, 704-570-1110. I have a theory about the current president of the United States. You heard him in that clip, that very first clip we opened with, featuring his hot take with Peter Ducey, in which he says, "I'm not going to the border. I got more important things to do than go to the border. We're dealing with money, billions of dollars in the chips deal with this Taiwanese company, and da 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 da." What is at his core? What is President Joe Biden? What was he as vice president? But most importantly, what was he when he was a senator? What is the key to understanding Joe Biden? Plagiarism. Plagiarism. He's a well-known, very accomplished plagiarist. He's a plagiarist, and he's somebody who tells lies about his level of expertise. And that is not in dispute. You cannot possibly sideline that argument. The fact of the matter is, this president is desperate to go down as one of the greats. And I don't think he will go down as one of the greats, unless it's involving grift. But I don't think he's going to be one of the greats. They had a White House media Christmas party in the last few days, and a bunch of people were specifically not invited to the media Christmas party. Now, this is a Christmas party for media people. This is a Christmas party for the party people of the media. And they specifically blocked people from Newsmax, including John Gizzi, who is a tremendous reporter. He's a great reporter. Look him up. You can find him. I have had him on my programs, radio and television alike, and we have talked about a whole bunch of stuff. And he's a down the middle, regular kind of guy. He's the guy that talks like this. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Corrine. Here's my question. But because he's affiliated with Newsmax, and before Newsmax was affiliated with Human Events, he's regarded as a right-wing wacko. He is the least right-wing wacko you would ever run across. He's just a reporter. He just wants to get the story and then report it, much in the same style of Peter Ducey. Peter Ducey's not an aggressive reporter. He's not nasty. He doesn't yell crazy questions out like old Brian Karam, who now, I think, last I heard, he was reporting for Playboy. Now he may be doing something for AVN. I don't even know what he's up to these days. But Joe Biden had a Christmas party, and they specifically didn't invite the Washington Examiner, the Washington Times, Newsmax. I don't know how many people from the Fox News Channel were invited or not. Joe Biden is trying to be the left's version of Trump. Remember, he is not authentic in any way, shape, or form. Lies about his credentials, lies about the law school, lies about 186 credits, gets caught doing it, steals paragraph after paragraph from Neil Kinnock and all that sort of stuff. Joe Biden comes out to the press today, and can we refire that one up there, TJ? That clip that we opened with, which I think is Corn A. Do you have Corn A? Corn A, because it was the first clip we played. Listen to the tone in his voice when all Peter Ducey is asking, hey, are you going to go down to the border? Listen to Biden's moral outrage.
State and not visit the border.
Because there's a more important thing going on. They're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
He thinks he's Trump. He locked out the press he hates Ronnie Klain and Karine Jean-Pierre and the rest of them are all trying to channel what they had at the Trump White House in that first two-year window, before they called the code red on your economy, on your health and safety, before they called the code red on Private Santiago, before they ever did that, before they took your economy down, back when Donald Trump was riding high in the saddle and I'm standing here and I'm taking 47 questions before I get on the helicopter, now here comes Biden. He feels like he's riding high in the saddle and that he's Mr. Important and he's got an edge and he's got the swagger and he's got all of it, except the problem is he's going to run out of gas. I mean, the man is literally, he wakes up exhausted. You see him do that little kind of bunny shuffle hop run that he does when he tries to run over towards the helicopter. And he does the shuffle, 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 shuffle. And he really doesn't really gain any ground at all. It's like a half a foot, a half a foot, a half a foot, a half a foot. He's a guy who would have been perfect as a Roman senator being carried in a sedan chair to everywhere he had to go. And so he thinks he's going to be like the edgy guy. He's not the edgy guy. He's not the edgy guy. When you go and see a comedian perform at a club and you see somebody who is so clearly lifting somebody else's act, somebody's trying to be Chappelle, somebody's trying to be Bill Hicks. Oh, wait, that'd be Dennis Leary. If you look at the way people carry themselves in a comedy club, it's the same thing that you've got in politics. You have to remember, this is a vitally important point. Politics is theater with the very real possibility of nuclear death. Politics is theater. Everything that happens in politics, if you're Zelensky giving a speech in Ukraine on Veterans Day and pinning medals on people's chests, it's a theatrical production. If you're speaking to the press, you need to show confidence, and you really do hope that someone's going to be, in the parlance of somebody as aged as Joe Biden, a, quote, Weisenheimer. You're hoping one of these reporters decides to be a Weisenheimer so you can really, quote, give it to him. That's an ancient approach to governance. The American people want results, and they understand that Joe Biden is the C word, cowardly. He's afraid to go to the border and be seen there because he knows what he's responsible for having done, and that is destroying the border states. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. So President Biden, not going to the border. Not interested in going to the border. Not going to happen. The last time Biden was anywhere near the border was when he drove by in 2008 as vice president. That's according to Jen Psaki, who told us that back in 2021. The southern border has experienced a record-breaking number of 2.3 million migrant encounters in fiscal year 2022. Immigration and Customs Enforcement underreported the number of illegal immigrants released without tracking technology by more than 18,000%. They are cooking the books. You have absolutely no idea who it is that's coming in and who it is that's being released. They flew them into airports around the country in the dark of night, not telling you anything about what was happening in your community. You have a right to know if they're just dumping people in your community. Jean-Pierre told Fox News White House correspondent Peter Ducey that Biden has been to the border. That he's been to the border. He's absolutely been to the border. Your tell, when you are watching Karine Jean-Pierre, your tell that she is not being truthful is when she does the very rapid blink when she's answering the question. It's her tell. You would love to play poker with her because once she started blinking like that, you would know she has absolutely nothing to show in that hand. Let's take a couple of calls. Tom is up first. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett, I enjoy listening to you, but I must respectfully say that everything that you said Biden is, I say that he is not. He is a great president.
Mm-hmm.
let me take care of the part, the press party or whatever you said they had where somebody from some cable TV didn't get invited. If it's a party, you invite who you want to. Now, if it's a press
conference,
that's a different thing. But
sure.
I don't think the Klan, and I hope they're not out there, they're not going to invite me to their white supremacist rally.
I got to take exception there. I would not compare. You're comparing the White House correspondence to the Ku Klux Klan? That makes absolutely no logical sense.
Okay, well, let me make it make logical sense. If you're having a virginity party, you don't invite 20 whores.
I'm sorry. You are now going from the Ku Klux Klan to no, comparing saying, the reporters as prostitutes. Let's try a third shot here because I feel like you are going for the lowest possible common denominator when we can have a perfectly good conversation. So let's try it again.
All right, let's try to have a perfect conversation now. Don't interrupt me. I think people understand exactly what I'm saying. If you're having a press party,
yes,
you invite who you want to the party. My mom told me, don't ever go where you're not invited.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever ask questions that, you know, people don't invite you into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But let me get on to the rail thing. I'll let you commentate on about the cable people not being invited to the party. I wouldn't invite them. And I don't expect the claims. I'm just using the principle of thing, not the fact that they're the lowest denominator people on the earth. But
yes,
let's mm-hmm. he saves America from a rail strike. The Republicans per se, not the good Republicans, they don't want a rail strike. He averted that.
Okay,
and so let's give him credit for that. Let's say people always saying, well, the gas is high. And he brings it down.
Well, he didn't bring it. He brought it down by tapping your strategic petroleum reserve. He's selling you oil that you already paid for once. So that's not even accurate.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you that. But let me go back to this. Back to the border. As long as he's got people that's really trying to do their best he can to look after that, he must take care of the economy for Americans. Because when you go to a restaurant, you can't even get good service because there are no. I'm not going to say illegals working there, but they're not people.
Wow.
They're not people there to even serve you. You have mm-hmm. to wait 2 hours for a hamburger.
I've not had the experience of waiting 2 hours for a hamburger. And I don't believe it's because you need more illegals working at a restaurant in an illicit fashion. I think you need more people just getting a job. But when you look at this, the fact of the matter is it's been established. The man's a plagiarist. He's trying to be Donald Trump. He's trying to show that he's tough. He's trying to say, look, I'll stick it to the press. Look, there were journalists from a wide range of outlets that are at those briefings every single day that found themselves without any invites. Salon, right. Newsmax, The Washington Examiner, Politico, CBS, Fox producers and technicians left out of the TV press party. This is just straight up rudeness by a guy who is very, very angry for a lot of reasons.
All right, let me make my last point, and I'll let you commentate on it. And back to the I don't know if you know this or not. This is a fact, since you're putting these facts out there, and I hope you're not upset that I disagree with a lot of stuff.
No, I don't disagree. I just have to be accurate here. So yes, go ahead.
Okay, all right. And to be accurate, here is the deal.
Mm-hmm.
People that are born in America, whether they came in illegally or not, I'm talking about the kids now. They become Americans if you're born in America, okay? Now, let me say this, and I'm going to wrap it up. The Latinos and Hispanics are becoming one of the fastest-growing people in America.
For sure. And they're voting Republican.
Well, I'm glad we agree that.
Right? And they're voting Republican because they understand what socialism looks like.
They're becoming what?
They're becoming Republican because they know what socialism looks like.
Well, beyond becoming Republican, they're becoming American.
And they're becoming conservative Americans. That's right. They don't like seeing the nonsense that's going on in the culture.
When they grow up, just like these young people, they're voting Democratic, and you know that between the ages of 18 and 25.
They are. And then once you get a job, a full-time job at, say, 25, once you get out of college, then you see how much you're giving up in taxes, and you decide that you want to keep more money for your family because you know better than Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. Biden or Jill Biden or anybody else, how to spend your money.
We'll let you argue that point, but I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just saying.
Well, I think we've come to a great conclusion. I think I'm right, and I think you agree, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. I knew we would get to it. I knew. I felt it in the marrow of my bones that you would agree with me, and that's important. Let's not forget, Tom, that was Tom, right? Was that his name? I think his name was Tom. Okay. let's not forget it was President Trump that attempted to do a deal for the Dreamers, and it was little teeny tiny Dick Durbin. Little tiny, he's very small, he's a diminutive man. He's the guy famous for declaring that the military personnel working at Guantanamo Bay were as bad as Pol Pot and Nazis. And he was castigated for that, although I don't know if he ever really apologized to those people he insulted. And Dick Durbin didn't like the tone Donald Trump used at the White House, and he went scurrying out in his little size 3 shoes. They usually carry him around in like a kind of a sling, like a mommy sling, because he's so diminutive. And I say that as a fun-sized person. But here's the thing. Dick Durbin had to run out and say, Donald Trump said mean things. And they scuttled the Dreamer deal because they could not permit that man to begin to solve the immigration crisis in our country. Because they knew that eventually Joe Biden would be elected and he was going to completely destroy the border. And he's done a pretty good job. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Anna Erickson's got the update.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. So did you know some of the other stuff that's going on out there? And this is going to be stuff I'm going to get into in a little bit. In Philly, they were erroneously arresting people who had rented cars from Hertz because the cars were being reported as stolen. And when I get into the guts of this story, the thing that's so shocking to me is, so in Philly, they're arresting innocent people that they're accusing of stealing rental cars, but they're letting actual well-known murdering carjacker murderer types just go free with like $500 bond. So they're arresting innocent people and putting them in jail and letting criminals run free as a bird, albeit a jailbird. I'll talk about that. Straight ahead at 704-570-1110. Ralph has been patiently holding on. Ralph, thank you so much for holding. What's on your mind?
Thank you. On Tom, he knows so much that isn't true, just like Ronald Reagan once said. And, you know, he still hasn't reached logic when you corrected him on all this stuff. So amazing. You know, that's a common thing of insanity. It keeps repeating itself.
Well, I think people may not follow the news as closely as I do or as other people do. So it's entirely possible that people don't know.
My comment was going to be, I wish Peter Bucci would have come back with Biden and said, what about the 100,000 deaths from fentanyl?
Yeah.
Is that not important?
Well, it's not. It's not to
and
him.
Everything. Yeah. And because, you know, he doesn't even care. And I heard this past week, Brett, that Biden, I don't know whether it was when he was VP or not, went to Mexico because it flew down there because his son owns a portion of some Mexican money.
Now, hold on. You heard that from me because there was a company called Iplata that it was down in Mexico. It was part of his whole business apparatus, and so I don't know. Did Joe Biden fly down there as part of that thing? I know Hunter went down there. He took Air Force Two, and went down there. But
I thought Tucker Carlson brought it up also. You may have brought it up also, but it's just amazing that that these people keep voting for this criminal enterprise.
Well, here's the thing. This is the way of much of Washington, D.C. There are a lot of people that do not play above board, and they try to enrich themselves along the way. You can think of a certain senator that represents this state that was called out for his investments just at the time of the COVID coming in, right? I mean, these are people who are going to advantage themselves in any way that they possibly can and any way that they want to. And so that's the problem. By the way, you are right. Vice President Biden did travel to Mexico and Honduras back in March of 2012. So he did head down to Mexico City, and who knows, having whatever kind of meetings he was having down there.
Well, you know, and I'm really disappointed in Burr. I went to a fundraiser for him up in Vail, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Up around the west side of Lincoln County.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just him. Tom Tillis needs to go too. He is just another rhino, and I live up around the lake.
Yes, sir.
And when's the last time has he done a town hall?
Well, I don't think he feels like he has to because he just got reelected in the last cycle before this one, so he's still got 4 years on the contract, and he feels like he probably doesn't have to answer those tough questions, and that's the problem. You know, did you see Nancy Pelosi cashed in for $4 million on the Visa stock in the last few days? But that was the Visa stock that she got at a very, very preferred rate back in the IPO days of 2008. I mean, these are folks that are really quite adept at enriching themselves based on information that they just magically get on good investments. You know, that's the problem, Ralph.
Well, you know, as my great-grandmother used to say, Pearl,
uh-huh.
The Biden family is lower than whale poop, and it's at the bottom of the
ocean. Oh, well, okay, I don't know about that. We don't need to get insulting. We're just commenting on this sort of... I do think a word that might apply to them, this is a word that I think is a good all-around catch-all kind of a term. Shabby. They're shabby. They're shabby in many ways. I mean, look at how disheveled Hunter was looking, even at the thing the other night with George Clooney. You know the thing. Shabbiness. Shabbiness abounds. You know, I do think he's trying to be Donald Trump with his hard-edged kind of edge. Jim has no hard edge. Jim, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for having me on. After Tom and the whale of solids, seemed like a pretty good deal to have me on the air.
There we go. What do we got?
So, yeah, last week, I guess TJ has called me a wannabe on the air. Is that right? Am I right?
A wannabe? No, I don't know anybody who calls you. I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I earned that.
I didn't know. I don't think anybody called. Who called you a wannabe?
Yeah, it was TJ, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't hear TJ say you were a wannabe.
Oh, well, we'll have to go to the podcast and try to listen.
Okay. I genuinely don't recall anybody calling you a wannabe. You are...
it kind of caught me off guard.
You're a prolific caller to a well-known program.
Yes, but being a wannabe is better than having never... done anything at all. I've actually been a lot of places and done a lot of things that
I don't think
one of the things I was able to be witness to was the greatness of America when
yes.
in the last century.
Oh, see, I don't think anybody regards you as a wannabe. You're not a wannabe.
Well,
you're not a wallaby. You're not a has been. You're not a used to was. I mean, it's none of those things. You are welcome at this program, which gives knowledge. In large part as a result of your contributions. I mean, I don't ever recall. I don't recall.
Yeah, maybe I'm just being wrapped up in myself a little bit.
Was it because you were parking in adjacent to handicap spaces?
Yes, that's it. Right now, I want to tell you.
Oh, now.
Reformed.
Wait a minute.
I'm completely reformed. I've
okay.
had a revelation about this. Now, what happens when I do? People do start having dialogue with me. They look and they see in my car and they see, hey, isn't that Eggnog Hide Upholstery? There's only one place you can get that.
Look at this guy.
And then they realize I'm associated with the show. So I realize now that as an ambassador of the show,
yeah.
I have a responsibility to uphold a higher ethical standard.
All right, I want you. I want you to show true love for this show, and I want you to get vanity plates on the car, okay? And I want you to get JIMWBT on your plates when you get an opportunity. I'm not going to force you to do it now, but I think you should. It's like jumping you into the gang. So you should.
You may force me to do anything you want at any time. Sir.
Wait a minute. I'm feeling some kind of way about this now, Jim. I mean, I'm not forcing you to do anything that you didn't sign up for, my friend.
That's a fantastic idea. That's going to be done. I'm going to get a hold of the DMV as soon as I can.
You're going to do Jim WBT. Dude, if you do that, you've got to send us a picture.
I will.
All right.
I will.
And you know what? Nobody thinks. See, now nobody thinks that you're any kind of a wannabe because you'll be a part of it.
Exactly.
No longer a wannabe. Now you're a part of it.
I'll have my papers.
You'll have your papers. Not the rolling papers. We don't do that.
Well, we'll still be caught in the struggle for some time against the Bolsheviks, but.
There we go. And I think on that, we wish you a very good evening.
All right, sir. Consider it done.
News Talk 11:10 to 99.3 WBT. Oh boy, Pam Warner. He's gonna get like vanity plates because I told him in California to go get Jim WBT. If he drives around in Cali with that, that's next level.
I'd like to see it though.
You know what? I'd like to hear you at some point call Cali traffic, man, because that is just straight up crazy.
Oh, it is. I used to live there, and it was absolutely nuts.
Oh my gosh, there's a dumpster on fire, and someone dropped a couch in the.
And it's rolling down the hill. Full speed ahead.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
How are we doing out here? News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It's the Brett Winterble Show. A California English teacher recently posted several controversial videos on social media claiming that teaching children, quote, how to write properly is rooted in white supremacy, and vowed to begin the school year with a different approach to teaching linguistics, according to Fox News Digital. Marta Schaffer, an English teacher at Oroville High School in Northern California, posted videos to TikTok claiming that white supremacy culture, quote, runs deep in public schools. Quote, what do I mean by that? Schaffer stated. Well, let's look at how we write essays. Start with an introduction that includes a thesis. Always cite your sources. Use transition words like however and therefore. They are all made up rules. They are arbitrary. They are created by Westerners in power. According to Schaffer, the IQ bell curve and the SAT are also problematic and racist. I don't think you have to use any punctuation at all. And don't use capitals. Don't use capitals, don't use punctuation. Just like make everything you write look like an E.E. Cummings poem. Don't you, like, when you read a book, it should just be one 50,000 word sentence. No comma, no period. It's better for your brain to kind of try to figure out where the thought ends. Well, the thought doesn't end till you read the whole book. We really do need people to be able to opt into or opt out of the stuff you need to know. And there needs to be a record of whether or not you opted in or opted out so that when people go to hire you, they're not going to hire you for a job that you will clearly not be able to do. Like if you don't want to do punctuation, don't do punctuation. But then don't go for a job that, you know, you're writing Supreme Court opinions or drafting contracts because it's important to have commas in contracts. I mean, it's important to understand what you're reading. Who hires these teachers? Like, where do these teacher people come from? Where do these? Serious question. You are an amazing audience, and I know I have a lot of teachers who are now getting in their vehicles, heading home for the night, and it's a question for you. In all seriousness, do you ever have you had these kinds of teachers at your school? You don't have to give me names. You don't have to give me your name. You don't have to give me their name. But have you actually had people that say, you know what, we're not going to do any more punctuation. We're not going to spell words properly. We're not going to do math. We're just going to do other stuff because it's oppressive to make you get a grade. Getting a grade is oppressive. You know what else is oppressive? Getting a paycheck. Very oppressive to get a paycheck. You shouldn't get a paycheck either. It should all just be voluntary and for fun. If you'd like to comment, I'd like to hear from you. You know who I want to hear from? Terry. Hello, Terry. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for taking my call again.
How's things on a Tuesday?
They're going pretty good. I'm sitting here looking out the window and watching the mist.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it.
In reply to Jim.
Yes, sir.
About the Wombe thing, sometimes I think your audience thinks when I call in and call in and sing some dumb Perry song.
No.
But I'm not a wannabe singer. Mm-hmm. I try to put a point across with some comedy. But I am a WBT wannabe.
Nice.
Like Brett Wirbel.
Whoa. Wait, so you're not a wannabe, you're a wannabe T.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's your way of putting it.
Well done. Look at you. Look at you.
And I love Boomer. I love TJ, and he knows it. So
he does. We all know. We appreciate you being out there, Terry. And this show would not be the same without you. And that's why I'm so happy you check in with us when you do.
All
it's
right,
always good.
You,
to... All right, buddy. I appreciate you, man.
Bye-bye.
Be good out there. That's Terry. And I'm serious. I appreciate everybody who calls the show. I appreciate the people who disagree with me. Because I can't tell you how many times I've had my mind changed. Usually, it's like a revelation grenade. And what happens is I'm driving home and I'm thinking back on the program, because what I do is when I'm driving home, I'm reenacting in my mind the entirety of the program, commercials included. It's really quite something. And I think about the points that have been made on the show, and I think, you know what? That's a really good point. That was a really worthwhile point that somebody raised, because that's, you got to be open. You got to be open to changing your mind and to changing it back. That's the beauty of it. We are a program that has safe spaces for idea fluid life. News Talk 1110 99.3 WB2.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Wirbel Show. 704-570-1110 is the number to be a part of the conversation. And we are very, very happy to be here with you today. As always, 704-570-1110. It is a tremendous, tremendous time of the year. A sad day today, though, with the passing of Kirstie Alley. That was a terrible loss. For the world, especially the world of comedy and entertainment. She was somebody that had tremendous comedic timing, and was comfortable playing a variety of characters. And I think it's fantastic what she was able to leave for us. And she did a heck of a job as an actress, and it's awfully sad. You have to appreciate the greats while they're around you. Christine McVie last week, Kirstie Alley this week, and you have to recognize, these folks, they come and then they're off the stage before you know it, and you're better for having seen them and heard them, but you're sad when they go, and that much is a 100% fact. I'm thinking about the current fight we have going on with the climate change. I was listening to Pete Callender talking about climate change and all the stuff that's going on in the world of climate change. What you heard from Governor Roy Cooper and the folks who are suffering as a result of the power stations that were attacked over the weekend. This is unadulterated terrorism, and I would argue it's probably an insurrection at the same time. And I'm not trying to belittle the word insurrection. I think this is an attempt by bad actors who want to deny people the ability to heat their homes, cook their food, take care of their children. You think about the elderly. You think about the people who have small children in these homes. If you've ever spent a night, I have spent a night without heat in cold temperatures, in temperatures that got down to the upper 30s, low 40s. It is a miserable experience. And if you don't have the ability to fire up a fireplace so that you can generate some degree of warmth, it is horrible. And these people that did this to these power stations, I'm not one to often call for heads, but this just about do it for me. This is terrorism. This is attempted murder. I'd hit them with 40,000 counts of attempted murder for all those people that have suffered as a result of this. And look, the fact of the matter is, when you look at these sorts of stories, it all ties back to this anger that has been simmering for the better part of three decades, four decades, about the people who worship the climate. They worship the earth. It's a paganistic kind of worldview. There's a nihilism involved. We must destroy modernity and we must worship the earth. So let me ask a question for people out there who might be thinking about this sort of an approach towards us, right? Getting rid of our technology, getting rid of our ability to heat our homes, run our businesses, get to and from work. We know the militant left. So everybody to the left of including Joe Biden and then to the left, we know that they believe with certitude that the climate has to be static. The climate cannot change. Always and forever, the climate must be exactly the same as it was 500 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago. You can't deviate by a degree and a half from back then, and we're going to fix it. Well, we also know from the left, especially if you've been following these cases that are at the Supreme Court, that the Constitution is a fluid document that doesn't mean what it says. So we know climate has to be static, never changing, always and forever. We know the Constitution is, quote, a fluid document that doesn't mean what it says. We know from the left, gender is fluid. It can vary from day to day, regardless of chromosomes. Why can't the earth be climate fluid? Why can't the earth be climate fluid? Why can't it vary from decade to decade, from day to day? Why can't it do those things? Why are we using Western science to shackle the planet, to deny the planet its ability to express itself, hot, sweaty, cold, chilly, whatever it is? Whatever it is, why are we shackling the planet with Western science telling us what the planet's temperature has to be? Are the other planets in our solar system static? What's the climate like on Mars? Does it change? What's the climate like on Jupiter? What's the climate like on Uranus? What is that climate like? What must it be? We believe it's very cold. What constructs are you applying as earthists to those planets? And as earthists, what are you doing with the planet itself, with our planet, the big blue marble? Why do we trust oligarchic fascists to tell us what the climate is supposed to be? People like BlackRock, people like Al Gore. Why do we trust Al Gore with the science? The last time he got headlines, it was for selling current to Al Jazeera. And then, of course, when he got in trouble because he got handsy with somebody when he was trying to rearrange his chakras in a hotel room. You know, you want to hold Al Gore. You want to hold Al Gore up as some kind of a hero. He knows what the climate should be. The earth, the planet, has a fever. He has a fever. This man is no hero. I know. I know you envy him. He is no, Al Gore is not a hero. Do you forget about his great atrocity? Have you forgotten about his great atrocity? I got four letters for you. P-M-R-C. He attempted to ban rock and roll in the 1980s. Him and Tipper Gore. And it was only by the good graces of an American hero, one D. Snyder of Twisted Sister, who had the courage to call that man-robot out and say, with conviction, just as sung on the album, "You can't kill rock and roll." I'm Brett Weatherbill. I approve this message.
Lockbox.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Weatherbill Show. Hertz has to pay $168 million over theft and arrest problems. The settlements resolve more than 360 claims. So Hertz, the rental car company, is slated to pay a total of $168 million as part of a settlement agreement in connection to allegations the rental car company falsely reported their customers for vehicle theft, according to a press release that came out yesterday. The settlements, which the company said would be paid out by the end of the year, will resolve more than 360 claims of customers alleging that they faced arrests over stolen vehicle reports purportedly erroneously filed by the company to authorities. They mark more than 95% of pending claims related to the false arrest issue reaching resolutions, according to their release. Hertz said the settlements, which the company expects to recover a meaningful portion from its insurance carriers, likely won't have a material impact on its capital allocation plans for year 2022 and 2023. As I've said since joining Hertz earlier this year, my intention is to lead a company that puts the customer first. In cuffs. No, stop. That's not right. That's according to CEO Stephen Scherr. In resolving these claims, we are holding ourselves to that objective. Scherr previously described, quote, rectifying the situation as a priority in an interview with Bloomberg in early April. We've put policies in place now that will mitigate, if not remove, the risk of this happening again, he said at the time. For a customer who was not dealt well, we're going to do right by them. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, reports of customers getting erroneously accused of rental vehicle theft first arose a couple of years ago. So you go in, you turn the car in, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you stole the car. What? I didn't steal the car. Who stole the car? I didn't steal the car. What are you doing? I mean, it's incredible, and the complaints that are posted up on the Fox Business Channel, where they've got the stories, it's shocking. One of the things that the folks who have had this problem point to was not having staff on hand after hours is part of the problem. Having you drop the car off at the return without having someone there is bad. I returned a car at 4:30 in the morning because I had an early flight and was contacted 2 days later asking where the car was. I mean, this is a problem. I mean, I know I'm one of these people that when I rent the car, and I know I'm probably going to get hell for this, I just decided I'm not going to go try to gas up at the airport. I'll pay for the stupid tank in advance. I don't know where I'm going. I don't need anything impeding me. So I'm going to just let you guys charge me $4 a gallon or $7 a gallon or whatever it is. That's all right. But I'm not gonna rent that car and then go try to find a gas station and put gas in the tank. I'll take the hit on the other side. But this idea about, you know, leaving the car, I mean, you would figure like, hey, I'm in the stall here. I'm just leaving the car in your stall. Do you have a security camera? Like, are you watching? Is there anybody watching what's happening with the vehicle? I mean, this is not Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We're not taking Cameron's dad's Ferrari out for a ride. You can't do that. But here's the thing. You know and I know that with the economy being what it is and with people not wanting to work and all that kind of stuff, you've got a situation now where, forget caveat emptor, man. It's like caveat, caveat, caveat emptor. I mean, you have got to be careful when you do stuff like this. In fact, how bad is the economy? Americans are now starting to have to take second jobs to cover the inflation costs. More Americans are getting second jobs as high inflation continues to rage. High inflation is pushing more Americans to take on a side hustle. Fed worsening job markets, killing inflation. Yeah, not so much. The hottest inflation in four decades is pushing more Americans to take on a side hustle ahead of the holiday season. The government reported Friday the economy added 263,000 jobs in November. But people are starting to look at this and go, well, how many of that is a second job? How many of that is a second job? An overlooked data point is the huge surge in the number of people holding multiple jobs. That jumped by 165,000. The largest increase since June and above the 60,000 monthly average over the past 6 months. So you basically have 6 months worth of people taking side hustles in 1 month because they can't afford Christmas gifts. They can't afford the stuff they need for their kids. They can't afford college tuition. They can't afford. And I'm not complaining. I mean, if you need money, you got to take a second job. But an increase in part-time work as more people take on side hustles to make ends meet, buoyed the headline numbers. And so people are turning to side jobs. But be careful. We talked about it yesterday. Make sure, if you're spending money and you're receiving money, more than $600, get those Venmo receipts ready. Get those PayPal receipts ready. Get all that stuff so you can report to Uncle Joe exactly how much money you made. So he can, wait a minute, hold on a second. I got to interrupt myself with this real quick. Didn't Hunter and Joe kind of have side hustles when he was vice president? I mean, isn't technically like Burisma and then she? Isn't that kind of like, was that like a side hustle at the White House? Was that a side hustle house? That sounds pretty, I've heard Trap House. I've heard Trap House music. What about side hustle house music? Not house music, side hustle house. Music. You want to see a picture? News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Somebody just with a Weisenheimer comment, as the old timers would say, just said to me, Eddie said, don't rent cars, just use Uber. Okay, but some people don't want to Uber like all over the place if they're staying for an extended period of time. If you're going sightseeing, can you take an Uber and get someone to sightsee, like take you sightseeing?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can you be like, hey, take me up to, like if we were here and I'm like, hey, take me up to Lake Norman and then stay in the car. And then when I'm done laying at the beach, I'm going to come back. So just hang out here for a couple hours.
You can negotiate with the Uber driver.
Is it really true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah, they may be a jerk and not do it. You'd be hey man, I'll give you $20.
In my experience, I've not Ubered with jerks.
Well, that's good.
I've Ubered with jerks who were with me who were riding. At a ride.
But, almost exclusively.
But the drivers. Very nice. Wow, I'm getting great information here, folks. Phenomenal information. Okay, Stan is up next. Hello, Stan. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing today, Brett?
I'm all good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, I have a thing that I wanted to bring up with you today, and it's pertinent to what we're talking about today about something Russ used to say. People used to ask him all the time, about maybe join doing a third party, something like the Tea Party.
Yeah.
And his response was always, no, you're better off trying to make the Republican Party be the way that it is, but be the way the base wants it to be. So with Donald Trump, we tried doing that. But here's where we are. There aren't enough people who like Donald Trump for his personality, even though he actually did that, in my opinion, for him to be reelected. So going forward, we already see the establishment, now that Donald Trump seems to be fading, trying to take back control. What sorts of things we can do to continue that without with someone who doesn't bring the baggage that someone like Donald Trump would bring, and that you see someone you see on the horizon, or things that we can do to try and keep that going?
Well, here's the problem. What you have to do first is, and this is important, what you have to do first is identify what policies you liked about, say, Trump. And then you have to look at who is it that is most closely pushing the same policies, understanding full well that the styles are not ever going to match up. DeSantis, I'm just going to pick random names here, okay? DeSantis, Tom Cotton, Kristi Noem, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence. None of them are going to be Trump because they're conventional politicians, and that's not, I'm not saying that in a derisive way. They're conventional politicians. They cut their teeth in the traditional root of politics. Donald Trump, in many ways, is a sort of person who I think would be most akin to. I mean, I know he loved Andrew Jackson, but I don't think it's even comparable to Andy Jackson. I don't think it's comparable to Teddy Roosevelt, except for the Bull Moose Party effort thing that might have happened. But the fact of the matter is, this is a guy who I think fit a specific time. Okay, fit a specific time in politics. I'm not against him. I'm not for him. I'm just watching the direction of where this country is going right now. And it's going to be clamoring for somebody not Joe Biden. And this is an important point to understand, Stan. When you look at what Joe Biden is doing to the country, the entire reason why Joe Biden wants to run again is he thinks he's going to face Donald Trump. If he doesn't face Donald Trump, all right, and he ends up facing DeSantis, or he ends up facing another conventional politician, I think it's bad news for Biden. I think he's going to find himself in a difficult spot. Because if you were to take DeSantis and you were to take Biden's record and put them side by side, there's no argument with what DeSantis has done down in Florida. The economy's exploded. People were free to not wear masks everywhere and have to go through all the weird, you know, social justice preliminaries before you could do anything down in Florida. So it's got to be somebody who's got results. It's got to be somebody who knows what they're doing. But, you know, if Biden is thinking he's going to run against Trump and Trump doesn't end up getting the nomination, then he's going to be in a bit of a pickle. Now, that being said, third parties don't work. Third parties do not work. The Republican Party is the last successful third party. And the Republican Party was essentially what? It was an outgrowth, I think, of the Whigs.
Right.
Once upon a time. So third parties don't work. Set aside Donald Trump's existence. Okay. Pretend like he was never president. Who was the most successful third party person to pull something like that?
Probably Ross Perot.
Exactly. And who did Donald Trump probably go to school on when he decided he was going to run that campaign? Ross Perot.
Probably Ross Perot.
Very similar styles. I mean, very similar styles. And both of them, let's be honest, a little unstable. Perot quit the race because he thought that the Bush team was sending lesbians to disrupt his daughter's wedding. Remember that? Back in the in 92. I mean,
right.
This is the problem. You're going to have to find somebody that's going to check the right boxes, and then you're going to have to find somebody who's going to resonate with the people. You cannot create a hit. Like, we can't sit down and say, we're going to put together a band and we're going to create a hit record. You can try to create a hit record. It's a lot easier if you've got a super team that's doing it, you know, Foo Fighters, people that have a huge track record in music, but you can't recreate lightning in a bottle, man. It's impossible.
Yeah, you know what, tell you somebody that I've always thought could do it?
Who?
And this is just me thinking, is Tucker Carlson.
The only problem with Tucker Carlson is you have decades of things he has said on television, he used to appear with Bubba the Love Sponge on radio, and those there were some pretty racy segments back in the day. So you would have a trove of people coming at him. Why was Barack Obama so successful in 2008? Setting aside his identity, okay, setting aside the fact that he was a historic first black president. Why was Obama effective in getting that nomination? Do you know why?
Why?
There was like no tape on him. You had speeches. There was no track record on him.
I think there was a track record on him. I just think that with the Republican candidates that would do that, the track record would be shown where it was with Obama. It was hit.
Yeah. But remember, that's why he picked Joe Biden, who was the most establishment guy in the Senate, because he was the guy, Joe Biden sort of played the role that Dick Cheney played for George Bush. He was sort of not the insurance policy, but he was the guy who had the relationships in D.C. That's why Trump picked Mike Pence. It wasn't to get Indiana. It was to have somebody that understood Washington.
Right.
So that's what's tricky.
I do enjoy your show, and thank you, and I enjoy your opinion.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate you being out there. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Pam Warner's got a look at the trap. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. That story about Ross Perot was like at the pinnacle of success in the 92 campaign, and then he imploded. So you have to pick very carefully the candidate that you want to represent you. You have to understand what it is you're getting into. Now, here's the interesting thing about former President Trump. You pretty much know everything that you can know about him. I mean, you've been through all the ups and all the downs and all the drama and all the trauma and all of that. So that's a known quantity. That's a known quantity. You start going with somebody else, you don't know everything about DeSantis. You don't know what could pop up with DeSantis or his family. You don't know what could pop up with any of these candidates. Trump, you basically know. And really, the issue with President Trump running again is, what's he going to say on a given day? You know, yesterday, he made comments about being restored, being the president, the Constitution. He made a remark about the Constitution, all of that stuff. And what you're doing is you're stepping on your messaging. But if you go back to his announcement, 3-4 weeks ago, he had some humdingers in that announcement, including, let's not forget, and I'm shocked this didn't make more headlines, death penalty for drug dealers. Like, all drug dealers were going to get the death penalty if he had his druthers. So the challenge is, what do you want? Like, if you look at the policies that have been advanced by this administration, by the Biden administration, okay, you could probably, in your mind or out loud, think of 3, 4, 5 things that you would undo immediately. Like, you might say, okay, we're going to secure the border, we're going to get a handle on fentanyl, and we're going to find out what happened with COVID, right? We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other thing. Those are very conventional positions. If anybody runs on that, if DeSantis ran on that, if Ted Cruz ran on that, you could pretty much be successful with that messaging, with the constituency that supports President Trump. The question that you have to answer when you think about this upcoming election in 2024, and it's all speculative, is do you like the policies you got, or did you like the fact that you had somebody there that was taking swings at the very people who had been aggrieving you for decades? was going to take big swings at the press, was going to take big swings at the establishment, was going to take big swings at the deep state and all that stuff. But unfortunately, if you go to war with the deep state and you win the presidency, you still have them to deal with. You still have them to deal with on the other side. The office apocalypse is upon us. Did you know about this? The office apocalypse is upon us. People are not going back to work in big buildings. Business Insider. Deserted downtowns have been haunting U.S. cities since the beginning of the pandemic. Before the pandemic, 95% of offices were occupied. Today, the number is closer to 47%. Employees are not returning to downtown offices, and that's had a domino effect. Less foot traffic, less public transit use, more shuttered businesses have caused many downtowns to feel like ghost towns. This town is feeling like a ghost town. Even 2.5 years later, most city downtowns are not back to where they were pre-pandemic. Not unlike the deindustrialization led to abandoned factories and warehouses, the pandemic has led downtowns into a new period of transition. A new period of transition. Less economic activity in urban cores and a lower tax base could now mean fewer jobs and reduced government services, perpetuating a vicious cycle that further reduces foot traffic in downtowns, leading to more decline, more crime, and a lower quality of life for residents of many downtowns. Ghost downtowns will be a visible infliction, and throngs of people crowding into a bus on a Monday morning will be apparitions of the recent past. This is going to have a huge impact when it comes to dollars and cents. These empty skyscrapers not being filled to capacity is going to cause a huge amount of pressure on cities. In fact, one number that has been bandied about in terms of the cost, the actual cost of the direction of this, is they believe $453 billion in economic damage is going to be wrought on cities. And at the same time, you have issues with district attorneys who do not want to press charges against people who commit crime. You know what this town looks like? You know what this town sounds like? You know what this town is? It's a ghost town. Not this town, but your town. That town. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. This town is climbing
like a ghost town. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
A little Rob Halford. That's pretty awesome. So that's Halford doing We Three Kings. 704-570-1110. It's the Brent Woodable Show. Hour number three, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. All right, so we opened up the program talking about the fact that the president is not going to the border. He went to Phoenix to give a speech because they're going to spend billions of dollars building new technology, chip stuff there in Phoenix. And he doesn't feel like he has to go down to the border because it's really not his issue. It's not important to him. The term he actually used was it's not important. The border is not important. So just so you guys know what the deal is. I'm hoping somebody will ask him that during a debate. when he runs for re-election. So on a 1 to 10, Mr. President, how important is the border?
It's like a 2 or a 3. I don't know, man. How much money do we get from the border? I take Taiwanese money here. This is great. That's why we're doing the chips deal.
So while this is all happening, James Comer and Eric Schmidt are busily working on this whole Hunter Biden laptop thing. This is cut number 14. Senator-elect Eric Schmidt, who is currently the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, or Missouri, depending on where you're from, he's getting ready to come into the Senate. Here's what he says about the laptop suppression. Cut 14.
We learned we took the deposition of Elvis Chan, the FBI agent, last week. Well, here's what's very clear. The FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop story in 2019. They sat on it. They didn't do anything with it. They knew it wasn't hacked material. They knew it was legit. Miranda Devine of the New York Post said that they had access to her emails. They also knew when this story exactly was going to be published. Elvis Chan testified that they were having meetings, monthly meetings, including weekly meetings, telling them to be on the lookout for hacked and leaked materials. Yoel Roth, the integrity guy at Twitter, in a sworn affidavit, said that in those meetings, they said there's going to be something, potentially something about Hunter Biden in that story. So you connect all these dots, and this was a backdoor way to affect censorship. They were also advising them on their what their hack and leak or their hack policy ought to be. And you also have the same guy, Jim Baker, who was general counsel of the FBI in 2016, and then general counsel of Twitter in the fall of 2020. It's clear in those Elon Musk that the Twitter files, he was the one saying put the brakes on this. So the FBI was very involved in it. And again, this is very concerning for our republic.
It's very concerning for our republic. In fact, Tucker Carlson, who was mentioned earlier in the program, said this about what the Biden campaign actually received. Cut 21.
No, what we learned on Friday is that big tech works aggressively and in secret with government agencies to subvert the outcome of what the rest of us assumed were free and fair elections. During the 2020 election, Twitter did this with the help of the FBI, committing censorship on behalf of one candidate while working to hurt the other candidate. It is hard to imagine a more brazen attack on our democracy than this. This is not how our system is supposed to work. In fact, it's illegal. What Twitter did is a violation of the First Amendment, as well as of established campaign finance law. They never declared those contributions to the Biden campaign. That's a crime.
And they're going to investigate that. So here comes Representative James Comer from Kentucky, who's the House Oversight Committee chair. And here's what he says is going to happen. Cut 15.
Based on the internal documents that Elon Musk released this weekend, the Oversight Committee will be sending a letter tomorrow morning to the three Twitter employees, Ms. Gaddy, Roth, and Baker, that were implicated in the cover-up of the laptop story, three letters requesting their presence in front of the Oversight Committee in January.
I wonder if they're going to remember anything. I wonder if they'll have any kind of remembrance or any of that sort of stuff. I wonder if that's, how's that going to shake out? I'm just wondering how that's going to, I don't remember. I don't know what happened. Well, don't worry. If we don't get President Trump to back out and he decides he wants to run for the presidency and Joe Biden wants to take on Donald Trump, there may be another candidate that may be running who announced yesterday on MSNBC, a Republican, you know him, some of you love him, cut number 22. It's going to be cut number 22.
You've just made some news there. You are essentially telling us that you would consider getting into the 2024 race.
Absolutely. I think to be a presidential candidate, you can't simply say, I support the Constitution. You have to say, I would oppose people who would undercut it. You know, we used to have a thing in the House of Representatives called the House Un-American Affairs Committee. I think when you challenge the Constitution itself the way Trump has done, that is un-American.
Let's stay here for a moment. Just walk me through your thinking. What does your timeline look like? What would cause you to cross into saying what you're saying now and actually being a declared candidate for president?
Look, all of the potential candidates know what Trump has said. This is no secret to anybody. I don't see why they aren't saying it right now. I think the voters, the Republican voters, people who choose the Republican nominee, nearly 95% disagree that Donald Trump is more important than the Constitution. I'm afraid there are some who would stick with Trump on this. What does a candidate have to lose by appealing to 95% of the base of the Republican Party? I actually think most Republican elected officials in Washington disagree with Trump on this, but they're intimidated.
You know what that ticket's going to be? I'm going to call it right now. Mark this in the file. John Bolton, Liz Cheney. Because let's make... Let's hit a rock again. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Our phone number 704-570-1110. Happy to welcome back to the program. I'm always thrilled when I get this opportunity to catch up with one of my favorite people in all the world of broadcasting, Beth Troutman from Good Morning BT. Hello, Beth Troutman. How are you?
Aw, that's the sweetest intro ever, my friend. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's pound cake, right? So, I mean, obviously it's a sweet...
I meant what you said, but yes, pound cake is also sweet.
That's very nice.
A lot of ways, the song and the dessert.
It's good to be with you, my friend. So here we are going into overtime. We have the election. The results will come out tonight. I don't know. People mail in their ballots. Who knows? We'll find out in a month of Tuesdays. What are we expecting tonight, Beth Trump?
You know, this has been such a such an interesting race to watch, and the fact that $80 million spent just in the 4 weeks since the election at the beginning of November until today. We're talking $80 million on this particular election. We know that former President Trump did do an online rally for Walker in the final push to get him elected. I've been following this on Twitter. I've been trying to follow it online to see what people are saying, how they're feeling about the 1.8 million people who voted in record turnout in early voting, what they think that means for the people who are going to turn out on actual election day, which, as we know, is often more Republicans than Democrats.
Right.
But there was a 9% increase in early voting for Democrats between November 8th and this early voting. So that doesn't bode well for Herschel Walker. Some people are predicting that it could be, you know, that Warnock could get as much as 53% of the vote. I don't know if it's going to be that much of a spread. I feel like it might be a little closer, but, you know, I feel like, I'm being perfectly honest here, and I don't think that I'm saying anything that hasn't been said, but I think Herschel Walker was a flawed candidate. Is a flawed candidate, and it's unfortunate for the Republican voters there in Georgia that some Republicans had in interviews that I've seen and in articles that were written had trouble just with some of the scandals that came to light and with his character as a potential leader, even his son coming out had an effect on the way people were thinking about him as a potential senator for 6 years from the state of Georgia. So, you know, I'm often flummoxed in the last several election cycles by what goes on, but I don't know if Herschel Walker is going to be able to squeak this one out.
You know, the idea of celebrity candidates, I think this has got to go by the wayside. I'm not saying that someone who's famous shouldn't be allowed to run. Anybody should be allowed to run if you're eligible to serve and to hold office. But this idea of let's go find celebrities. This is 2022. We are a much more jaded society than we were back in the 1980s, where people were enamored by celebrities. I think the idea of like let's go find a celebrity. Okay. Well, when you find a celebrity, you're going to find somebody who has lived their life in a particular way that may have been pristine. They may have done nothing wrong in their entire life, or you may end up with Charlie Sheen and Tiger Blood. I mean, you know, you don't know what you're going to run into. And the question at that point becomes, what's important to you for someone who's representing? And this is not L.A. or California or New York. This is Georgia. And how much is being famous really going to drive it for you to be a senator from Georgia? I don't know. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I think one of the things we have to always consider when we think about these celebrity candidates, and we saw this with Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania as well, is after they become a celebrity and gain a great deal of wealth and fame, you know, they do live in a bubble that is very different from the rest of us.
Right.
What we, you know, the problems that we exist in. And we saw that with Dr. Oz and his, you know, flawed Twitter post going to the grocery store to buy a veggie tray, which he called crudité. And, you know, it didn't resonate with the people of Pennsylvania. And I wonder, you know, Herschel Walker's very different, obviously, from Dr. Oz, a very different candidate, a very different kind of celebrity because he comes from the sporting world. I think the party officials who go and look for the celebrity candidates are thinking about one thing only, and it's name recognition. And with all of the money that we're spending on these campaigns right now, you can build name recognition. I mean, think about Ted Budd. Ted Budd was known really well in a certain part of the state of North Carolina.
Yep.
But he built name recognition and won that primary over Governor Pat McCrory, who had intense name recognition across the state.
For sure.
So we don't need that kind of name recognition to win elections. We've got to start really thinking about who we're putting forward and think about, you know, not just whether or not they're going to be a rubber stamp for the policies that we like, but what kind of leaders they're actually going to be, because they're not only going up there to vote, they're representatives of our values, they're representatives of us, and if we end up electing people that don't act or behave or speak as leaders, that's problematic too.
You know who I would have run? I mean, just looking back, hindsight now, as we look at things, do you know who I think would have probably had a very good chance of winning the seat, and maybe even on that first go round? They should have recruited Newt
in Georgia. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's where he came from,
and
he understands how the House works. Intimately understands how the House works. Would be able to advocate for policies inside the Senate that would be complementary in the House. And he's a celebrity. I mean, he's a famous guy. He was a Speaker of the House. You know, I think you could have grabbed him. I think Kemp is going to go shoot for that Ossoff seat if he doesn't run for the presidency. You know, I think you have to pick. People always point to Ronald Reagan. They go, Ronald Reagan was an actor. He was also a two-term governor in California and had massive appeal across the country.
I mean, the executive experience there is the key. I mean, he was the governor of the largest, you know, population in our country. And also, I mean, pretty much California is their population and their GDP is larger than some country.
That's very true. So this is going to be interesting. We'll see how this all shakes out. It's going to be a remarkable thing. I know you'll be unpacking it tomorrow morning. What else will you be breaking down tomorrow?
We will certainly be unpacking this race. We'll also have former Governor Pat McCrory on our show in the 9 o'clock hour to, I'm sure, talk about this race and everything else that's going on in state and national politics. We also have Teresa Payton, our cybersecurity expert, tomorrow morning at 6:20. She's coming hot off of a live interview on the Today Show, so we're excited to talk to her. And of course, we'll talk about everything else that happens overnight, all of your fun news, your entertaining news, and of course your serious political news as well.
Great stuff. Appreciate you being here, my friend. Enjoy the evening.
I always love.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Our conversations, my friend.
Me too. Absolutely. WBT welcomes the Light, the Knights Festival, where you can make merry memories at Truist Field now through January the 6th. There's ice skating rink, snow tubing hill, Plus, you can enjoy light shows, live entertainment, holiday treats, Christmas trees, shopping, Santa, and so much more. So head on out all the way through January the 6th as WBT welcomes the Light the Nights Festival. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. Be a part of the discussion. Be a part of the conversation. Let's let you hear some interesting sound here. So you have a president of the United States. It's going to be cut number 24, TJ. Cut number 24. Earlier today, Peter Ducey at the rope line as the president was making his way out to the plane to fly out to Arizona, asking the president, hey, how come you're not going out there to see the border? What's going on with this?
First state and not visit the border.
Because there's more important thing going on. They're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
Because there's a lot more important things going on. They're going to invest billions of dollars in the enterprise. But you could you fly over the border? Could you look at the border? Could you see the border? Could you possibly? I mean, I don't. What is he? Is he ever going to go to the border? I don't think he is. I think the border is this president's kryptonite. And I'm telling you, I said this at the beginning of the program. I stand by this assertion. This is a guy who is trying to cop the hustle of Donald Trump. And by that, I mean getting chippy with the reporters, getting snarky with the press. He's trying to be kind of like a dollar store version of Trump. And he ought to just be himself. He ought to just be himself. The lovable guy who likes to sniff hair and say inappropriate things to people. Stand up Chuck. Oh, gosh, what am I doing? Everybody else stand up for Chuck. Oh, no, now Chuck can't see anybody. I mean, it's really an incredible story. It's an incredible story of blunders, gaffes, and mistakes. Tara is up next. Hello, Tara. Welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hello.
I wanted to wish you a happy, Merry Christmas.
What?
Hanukkah, well, whatever.
It's only the 6th.
Celebrate.
Wait, it's the 6th.
The country for 3 months.
What?
Three weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Three weeks.
And, yeah, there's some little scary things going on where I'm going.
Oh, whoa. Who greenlit this? I didn't greenlight this trip.
No, but guess what? I get to hear you guys. I carry you guys on my podcast.
You got the app and all that, so you'll be able to hear it. Oh, all right, see you.
So anyway,
uh-huh.
Merry Christmas,
yes.
And enjoy everything, and just I really
Thank you.
Enjoy you guys.
I appreciate you. Now I have a question for you. You don't have to tell me where you're going. I'm not going to make you give up that information. Is it warmer there or colder there than where we are?
Okay, let me tell you where I'm going.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going from 11 degrees
uh-huh.
to 74 degrees.
Whoa.
Yep.
Really.
Yeah.
Really? So you go
to
the
going across. We're going above. We're flying all the way across the United States. The world, actually.
All the way across the world?
Well.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be. It's pretty cool.
All right. Cool. Will you tell us when you come back what you did, where you saw?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to.
All right, please. We want to. This is good. I like this. This is like a cliffhanger. So
no, it's very cool.
Travel safe. You got to travel safe. You know, take your time, enjoy the trip, and then come back and tell us. And a very Merry Christmas to you as well, Tara, because you're one of my favorite people to talk to. And
you say that when I'm around.
I know. I say it all the time. I said to some people yesterday, I stopped. There were two guys that were walking in the hall. I said, Tara is one of my favorite callers on the whole show. And they said, we agree. They listen. Yeah. I mean, these are guys I just met. They knew who you were from listening to the show.
Seriously? I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Aw.
Well, you know, look.
So sweet.
You're,
I will let you know what's going on, and I might bring you a T-shirt back.
Whoa. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm all in.
I will be in Malaysia. I'll just tell you that.
Whoa. Real? Whoa. Very exotic. Quel exotique. Yeah. What? That's outstanding. They have like pyramids there and stuff and all kinds of. They do. They got like in the. I think it's like a whole. They're very huge historical.
I've got the best job in the world.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
Yeah, you do. Holy cow!
But have a great Christmas.
You too.
And you know I love Matt Doherty.
I know he'll
And roll tide.
Wait, they're not rolling anywhere now.
What happened?
Well, I know.
I'll be sure to root for him in the playoffs.
Oh, TJ's rooting for him in the playoffs.
I don't care.
TJ, see what TJ's doing. He's trying to. He's making mischief.
Like I said, you learn more from being. You learn more from being second than you do being first, right? I'm on the radio.
That makes sense. No, that's it. Look, and you're number one. You're number one in the parade.
Yeah, Alabama's number one no matter what.
Well.
All right. Well.
All right, my friend. Yeah, you too.
3 weeks.
Be safe. Okay, that's Tara, man. That's Malaysia's pretty awesome, man. Yeah, I've never been. Don't really know much about. I do think that they have. I think they have like things that are like pyramids there, like temples. You know, like they're built. Kind of in that. Now I'm going to look it up. See what you see what I'm willing to do for my audience. Let's see. Malaysia temples, pyramids. See, because this is a real-time show, and we can look it up in real time. Because yes, they are. There it is. Kuala Lumpur. Sri Mahamaraman. Kuala Lumpur. That's it. 75-foot high pyramid. I know. You know why? You want to know why? Does this audience know me well enough yet that I can confess something to them? Okay, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Honestly, you're never going to believe this. I'm not going to be able to live this down. My street credibility is about to be shot. Are you ready? I dig Ancient Aliens. Like when there's nothing on, I'll watch Ancient Aliens. Sometimes late at night, I don't want to watch news. I got to check out. I'm like, no, it's not east of the Rockies and west of
the
Rockies.
You hate space.
I know. It's not all about space. It's about space on Earth, too. Like, they have, like, the portals and then the dark stuff.
But it comes from space.
It does
You're
not.
You're a spacist.
No, I'm a spaceophobic.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm not a spacist. I guess I would be, maybe.
You're kind of.
I'm spacephobic. I don't.
Space-ish.
Yeah, I can't. What's up? What's down in space? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's everywhere.
I don't like that. I don't like. You know, I mean, you know when you're up in the shuttle and you're going around the Earth, like you have like 27 days in a day. I mean, you're just going around and around and around. You come back, you're like 42 years older after being up there for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
Somebody told me that once.
I'll fact check that.
I do like, but the Ancient Aliens, that's why I look at the pyramids. I like all that kind of, I want to know what's in that pyramid. What's in those pyramids?
Yeah, absolutely.
They think they're nuclear generators. That's what they said. The guy George Papadopoulos there with the guy with the crazy George Tsoukalos, that's his name. That dude, he must use. I'm telling you, I'm dead serious. He must use a whole can of Aquanet. Get that hair like that.
Aquanet.
The heavy duty like Blackie Lawless.
Think
Aquanet.
Of the smell. Oh.
Oof! Don't light a candle. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It's that time when we catch up with Mark Garrison for Charlotte at 6.
Indeed.
What do we have coming up tonight, Mark?
Well, a little bit of good news out of Moore County. It looks like the power may, underline that word, may be back on as soon as tomorrow night.
Wow.
That would be 24 hours earlier than Duke Power first said after those substations were shot up. Still no arrest. We'll have the latest for you from Pinehurst.
Wow.
Brief report out today, and it was brief, on the crash of Channel 3's helicopter 2 weeks ago that killed two. Apparently, happened so fast the pilot did not put out a distress call.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Not that they can find, anyway. Battle over the COVID shot. Republicans, you may have talked about this, trying to get the military to drop the requirement that soldiers get the vax.
Right.
And here in Charlotte, a local doctor kind of went off complaining about all the negative social media posts about the vaccine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. 6:35, you know what it is, Dirty Restaurant Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, so we got a popular burger joint in Fort Mill with a really bad score.
Really?
And a nursing home mishandling bedpans and urinals.
No, no.
Our friends, the inspectors, inspect the nursing homes too. This looks creepy.
I don't like this.
No.
This I don't like. I don't like that. You show respect to the bedpan users.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't even send your mother-in-law there.
No. Wow. All right. That's good to know. Hold on. I'm scratching that off the list because I was going to. And then now I'm like, okay, I won't do that.
There you go.
All right. Mark Garrison.
Yes, Charlotte
sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you being out there. Hey, don't forget, folks. Don't forget, it's hugely important, all right? June 21st to the 30th, 2023. That's coming up before you know it. I'm going to be heading over to Italy, and I want you to come with me.
I've never been before. Maybe you've been before. You should come with me and show me some of the exciting stuff. We're going to have an amazing time, and I want you to come and join us. We're going to do so much. We've got an overnight flight going into Rome. We're going to arrive in Rome. We're going to spend a couple of days there. We're going to go off to Assisi in Perugia, which is really incredible. The journey through the Italian countryside to the Umbrian capital of Perugia. En route, we'll stop at Assisi, the birthplace of St. Francis, for a walking tour, and we'll discover the Basilica of St. Francis, which was consecrated in 1253. Afternoon in Perugia, enjoying free time to discover the medieval city center. It's going to be incredible. Do yourself a favor. Join us on this very special trip. We're going to have all kinds of amazing events that we're going to do. I'm going to take you behind the scenes of my career and tell you all the great stories about all the folks I've worked with. And you know who I'm talking about. 800-383-3131. 800-383-3131. Ask to have a place held on this trip. I really want you to come join us. 800-383-3131. 10 days, 9 nights. It's going to be remarkable. Will not be complete without you. So let's say arrivederci together, right? You know what I'm saying? The big story is going to be tonight is going to be this election that's taking place in Georgia. And at this point, we will then be allowed and be able to move on to the race for 2024. And I'm going to give you a little bit of homework because I think this is important. I'm going to want to unpack this tomorrow when we get back together here behind the microphone. What is it that you want in a president? What is it that you want in a president? Understanding that you have to have somebody who can work with or at least prevail over the House and the Senate. Remember, the House and the Senate are two totally different animals. The House has got gerrymandering a go-go. So you have got a lot of safe seats where people are entrenched in their positions. Not a lot of seats will flip. It's why you have, you know, a very small majority coming Kevin McCarthy's way. The Senate, obviously, you get a third up every 2 years. But here's the question. What do you want in a president? What is it that you're looking for? We understand leadership, temperament, those sorts of things. But what do you want the president or the candidate for the presidency to possess? What do you want them to focus on? Is it the economy? Is it the culture? Is it security? Is it a mix of these things? What is it that you're seeing in this current president, President Biden, that makes you say we can no longer go down this road? Is it spending? Is it the Green New Deal? Is it ESG? Is it the idea that you shouldn't have agency over your body or agency over your children's education? Think about what you've seen for the last 2 years. The last 2 years have been incredible. People like Fauci telling you what you could and could not do. A president of the United States yelling at you, blaming you for the pandemic of the unvaccinated and telling you how sick and tired he was of having to tell you to go get the shot. Remember those days? I remember those days. We have a daunting challenge in front of us. We're going to get through this election that's taking place today and tonight, and we'll probably have an idea of what the results will be tomorrow. But we have got to start working to save this constitutional republic. And it's not about trying to save us from those people or these people. We're all in this together. There is no place to go. We're not going to be able to escape to some other place that's going to be so much better than this place. We're here and we're staying here and we've got to deal with some of these issues. So I'd like to really take a deep dive with you tomorrow into what it is that you're looking for, what it is you're wanting in a leader who's going to come forward. Perhaps it's President Trump. Perhaps it's one of the other candidates that we all suspect of running. We certainly want to hear from you. Thank you to TJ and Tommy. Thank you to Anna and Pam Warner, Mark Garrison, Beth Troutman, and each and every one of you. Enjoy the evening. We'll get together again tomorrow. Charlotte at 6 is next, followed by Breaking with Brett Jensen. I am Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110-993-WBT.
Doesn't it make you feel better? The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is all right.
I don't know. I like those days.
Okay.
Yeah.